Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop this Food Friday, November 8th. I'm Ray Graff. Well, holiday season is just about upon us. I'm gearing up already. I've already ordered pant sizes 2 times larger than the rest of the year. So much to do, so much to eat. Now back on the show to help me get off the ledge and get into a healthy frame of mind is dietitian Nicole Rodriguez. If you want to talk healthy eating this holiday season, give us a shout, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org, 800-348-2551, or voxpop@wamc.org. Holiday eating, sensible, smart, satisfying. All right, buy the premise. Let's see if it works. We'll be back after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Joining us today is Nicole Rodriguez. Nicole is an award-winning dietitian nutritionist based in the New York metro area. She serves a diverse clientele. I can't read. She serves a diverse clientele via her telehealth-based practice. She is passionate about empowering individuals to feel good about the abundance of food choices at their fingertips and utilizes her co-hosting duties on the Food Bullying Podcast to do just that. You got a question? Sure. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We'll focus on healthy holiday eating and such today and your general diet and nutrition questions. 800-348-2551. Or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Nicole Rodriguez, how you doing?
Excellent. How are you today, Ray?
Yeah, you know, about the same as usual, you know, about 40%.
Okay. You know, we'll take a 40%. Maybe by the time we're finished, we're at a 55%.
Oh, wow. That's optimistic. What are your favorite five vegetables and why?
Oh, I love that question. I think I will go with number one, Brussels sprouts.
Yeah, okay.
I was hoping for that ick factor response, but I'm undeterred. Why?
Yeah.
Because our cruciferous vegetables have different polyphenols in them that have a variety of different potential benefits, such as cancer prevention. They're also a good source of fiber, right? So things like our Brussels sprouts, our collard greens, our broccoli, our kale, things of that. But I think Brussels sprouts, you could do the most fun things with them.
And this is holiday time, and there's always a family member who's schlepping out the Brussels sprouts.
Exactly.
I run away as far as I can, as fast as I can. Okay. How do you make them?
Well, on a weekly basis, it's a very simple, take them in the bag, pop some holes in them, microwave so they don't take so long to air fry. And, you know, I just air fry them in a little mix of oil, salt, and pepper. But at the holiday table, would you be running away if said Brussels sprouts were then maybe tossed in a little bit of hot honey and some bacon crumbles?
I've never even heard of such a thing. Mm-hmm. You see, I have a long and painful history with Brussels sprouts.
A lot of us do.
A lot of their relatives who are not quite so adept and maybe not as imaginative as you.
Perhaps have been serving you boiled Brussels sprouts.
Yes, that goes back several decades. All right, so what's number two on your list?
Number two, baby peppers. If you shop at any big box stores, you can usually get a nice size bag of them for a great price. And why? Because, you know what, Ray, where a lot of people fall off is thinking that vegetables are difficult, when really we can be utilizing vegetables as a dinner pregame, right? We could just be sort of snacking on them when they're available, when they're tasty, when they're sweet. And I say specifically these baby peppers because a lot of them have been bred for sweetness and for better texture. We have the different colors happening. Excellent source of vitamin C, by the way. We're always thinking oranges, 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 but peppers, like gram for gram, will have more vitamin
You're
C.
You're kidding me.
I would not kid with
now,
you
Now, I buy those often, and they come in the bags at the grocery store. My kids love them. Here's a question for you, smart pants. Let's see if you got this. They're yellow, orange, whatever, different colors. Do they have any different qualities because they're different colored?
Okay, so my understanding is that it's not a difference of quality. It's a difference of ripening.
Well, they're all right, though, right?
Yeah, but then there's and there's different breeding as well. So there's, you know, there's the colors. In some of them, it's about the colors. And then some of them, it's about how far, like, ripened are they.
Interesting. Well, I mean, I've never done this before, but now I'm thinking of doing it, closing my eyes and doing a taste test. Are they all the same, or is it just cosmetic?
You should. They're a little bit different. Have you never done that with a bag of the multicolors that are red, and you'll get a few of those really dark, dark, almost brownish purple ones? You'll get a yellow one,
I've seen an orange one.
Yeah, but I think the yellow and the orange taste different from the red. There's a slight more astringency to the red.
Okay, so that's good. And we agree on baby peppers. Number three on your list.
Number three, I'm going with general spring mix, like boxed spring mix lettuce, just because you don't always feel like that cruciferous leafy green, right? You don't always want baby kale. You don't always want something that's so bitter. And I think one of the best things to do, especially over the holidays, is just to make sure you have something like that in your fridge at all times. And I also mention it because people will complain, like, oh, I buy that, and then it goes rotten. It spoils, right?
I bought this, too, in the plastic containers. And it does, you know, if you don't eat it in four or five days, it'll go bad on you.
Well, so what I'm going to invite you to do is, when you purchase it, to open it, place some paper towels down on the top of the greens, and then store it flipped over in your refrigerator so that some of that moisture is just absorbed by the paper towels, and then you're minimizing the chance of it wilting and going bad so quickly.
And how long, if you do that, how long can it last?
You will extend it. I will say you'll extend it another 4 days.
You're kidding
reasonably.
Me.
Yeah, it's a big life extension there.
So take a paper towel and just dab it and leave the paper towel on.
Yeah. And then flip the container so that it's stored with the paper towels on the bottom.
Amazing. And it doesn't affect the quality of the taste.
No, it does not. I think it enhances, because now you're taking out some of that moisture that would make the greens soften up a little too quickly.
Interesting. Okay. 800-348-2551. We're talking diet and nutrition as we head into the, oh, I can say it because I have prolific poundage, it's the fatty season for many of us. 800-348-2551. Feel free to give us a shout if you have a question for Nicole Rodriguez. All right. So number one, inexplicably, Brussels sprouts. Number two on your list, baby peppers, which we kind of agree on. Number three, the lettuce spring mix. By the way, I've bought this many times and I've eaten it. What's in it besides lettuce?
So there are usually different pieces of baby chard. There's usually little pieces of spinach and other various, like, baby lettuces.
Okay.
And they could all be a little different. Sometimes it's little tiny pieces of, like, baby endive, right, if you see those purpley kind of pieces. So, yeah, a little this, little that.
You say so. All right. What's
so exciting,
what's
right?
What's number four on your list?
Okay. I'm glad you're sitting down.
Yeah.
I'm going to say carrots.
Oh, I love carrots.
I'm going to say carrots. I'm going to say it because I think they're an unsung produce aisle hero that maybe we're not preparing enough.
Raw or cooked? That's maybe where we differ. I don't like the cooked.
So I appreciate the carrot both raw and cooked, but I especially love it roasted. And again, similar to that Brussels sprout situation, maybe tossing them in a nice olive oil, and then my favorite spice mix is a combination of sumac, cumin, cayenne, and a little bit of salt. So they're spicy, but they're a little bright and citrusy.
Yeah.
And again, that, like, everyone's oven's different, but either roasted or that air fryer setting for
fried
35, 40
fried
minutes.
Carrots?
Air fried.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, me, for my taste, raw carrots, fantastic. But you're going to roast them with what? I mean, you're going to put honey on them, or what do you do?
No, that olive oil.
Just olive
and
oil?
And that spice mix.
What kind of spices, though? What are we talking about?
Yeah, cayenne, sumac.
Sumac?
Yep.
Isn't that poison?
Cumin and salt. No, sumac is such a fun, again, underrated spice because it's a little bit lemony. It's a little bit citrusy, so it does a really great job of brightening something up without actually having to, you know, squeeze a lemon.
Okay, so that was 1 through 4, number 5, and then we're going to take a break, and then we're going to talk about your least favorite vegetables, and then your favorite meat, and then we are going to get into the goodies of the holidays. 800-348-2551. Dietitian, nutritionist Nicole Rodriguez is with us as we get ready for the holiday season. All right, your number 5. Number 5 favorite vegetable.
Oh, my gosh.
You don't even have one, do you?
Some people would maybe not even call it a vegetable. They'd call it a grass, and technically it is a grass. I'm going to say corn.
Corn's a grass?
Technically.
Zach, did you know that? Corn is a grass?
I just learned that this year.
Yeah.
See, he knew. Oh, he knew.
Did you ever try to smoke it? No, he didn't. Okay,
it's
good.
After the show.
So corn is a grass.
Corn is a grass, but we're going to count it today as a vegetable. And I'm going to go so far as to say I also love canned corn so much.
Okay, I like that too.
Love.
Do not like creamed corn.
No, that's where I draw the line. No.
Okay, and I'll tell you what, this is a great spot to stop because I want to talk about the nutritional value of going to the farm stand, getting ears of corn, which everyone loves. But if you're maybe in the dead of winter, you're not going to get that, and you get canned corn. Let's talk about how they compare nutritionally, but let's do that in a moment. We are joined today by Nicole Rodriguez. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's Diet and Nutrition Today. WAMC.org is our website. VoxPop at WAMC.org if you want to send us an email. I Want You, She's So Heavy. That's the Groove Collective doing the old Beatles song. 800-348-2551 is our number. It's Vox Pop, and it's Food Friday. We welcome back Nicole Rodriguez, who is an award-winning dietitian nutritionist based down in the New York metro area. You drive up here for this for no money. It blows my mind. It's a long commute.
It's a long commute. My parents live close by, so I treat it as a little.
So you can write it off on your taxes.
A little weekend, overnight.
Good for you.
Getaway.
Oh, excellent. And so when you go to visit your folks, do you eat like a swine?
I don't. Are we allowed to mention local businesses or not? Not really. Okay. So I will say I do not eat like a swine, but I make sure to hit up my favorite ice cream while I'm here.
Oh,
that
yeah.
is.
What?
Does it
begin with an S?
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
end with an Urts?
Exactly.
Ah, okay,
exactly.
I gotcha. Good for you.
Exactly. I just make sure I hit that. I make sure I hit that up. And
what's your favorite flavor?
Mom's making. Oh gosh, someone just asked me this yesterday because I actually have their logo tattooed on my ankle, and she said, "Oh, what's that?" And I said, "Well, that's the logo of my very favorite ice cream place."
You have okay.
Yes,
you
yeah,
have
I
the Stewart's logo
I
on
do.
Your ankle.
That's how much. That's how deep.
But
the
they
love
don't
runs.
Pay you for that.
No,
you're advertising.
That's like a deep like family thing. Like that's like my thing when
you're
I come
a weirdo.
Up here. Yeah, maybe I'm a little strange, but peanut butter pandemonium and mint cookie crumble.
Oh. My wife brought home peanut butter pandemonium last night. Fell asleep before I could eat it. So
that stinks.
It's probably gone by now in my house.
That stinks.
800-348-2551. I love talking about ice cream with dietitians. It just seems so wrong. Did we get your number 5? We got your number 5, right? I didn't write it down.
Yeah, it was
corn.
Corn.
Yeah.
Corn. And
you know,
corn.
It's a grass.
Yeah, it's a grass.
Yeah.
Now we know that.
Exactly.
What's
your least favorite vegetable?
Can I say something about corn real quick
okay,
before
go ahead.
We get in there?
Sure.
That.
Oh, the canned corn.
Yeah,
this year.
Like
yeah.
canned corn, frozen corn. If
yeah.
we're talking about any of these frozen vegetables, they are picked and flash frozen or processed at their peak ripeness, right? So a lot of times we think like, oh, if it's not fresh, is it quote unquote as good? But there's a lot of nutrient density locked into those different sources of vegetables. Yeah. So we don't have to eschew that that aisle, which I think is great.
I'm all in on the canned vegetables.
I'm all in on the canned. Yeah. And I'm all in on canned, and I'm all in on frozen. I'm into all of that.
Let me guess what your least favorite vegetable is, all right? I'm going to say kale.
That's high. I would say like a regular curly kale is really high up there on least favorites. Like absolutely.
Why?
I mean, you've had it.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh, I know so, why. I want you to tell me why.
Yeah. So like a great baby kale, or you see like a lacinato kale and you massage it down and saute it down and put seasonings in it. Like it's very tasty, but I'm so tired of people pretending to like enjoy raw kale in a smoothie or something like that.
Isn't that not that great for you?
I think it's like the definition of misery is to be blending a raw vegetable like that into a smoothie. Don't think it tastes very. I just don't think it tastes very good. So raw kale.
That's number one for you.
Yeah, raw kale is number one.
All right, our number here is 800-348-2551. Nicole Rodriguez is our guest. It's diet and nutrition leading up to the holidays. So Thanksgiving is coming.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this in years past. It's an invitation for people like me to go straight for the appetizers and never stop and then have dinner. So how does one, now you have many clients, and I'm sure many of them are as wacky as I am. How do you keep them in line at the holidays?
So, I think where a lot of people make a wrong turn is to say, okay, I know it's Thanksgiving tomorrow. I know it's appetizers and it's drinks and it's XYZ dish that so-and-so makes that I love. And they say, you know what? I will skip breakfast and lunch and then go straight into that eating occasion to quote unquote like bank calories,
yeah.
Right? Which in theory sounds like a great idea.
It makes some sense.
It makes sense. But then what happens? We get there and it can become a free for all really, really quickly. So a couple of quick tips there. One, if you know you're not going to Thanksgiving appetizers and dinner until 4 in the afternoon, it's really smart to have a normal breakfast that has this kind of, call it like a power triangle of protein, heart-healthy fat, and some fiber, and then to replicate something like that at lunch too, right? So if you want to keep it light, like that's cool. If you want to have a ready-to-drink protein shake, a piece of fruit, and maybe a little bit of peanut butter or something as your morning meal. If you want to have something like a salad with protein and some beans or something with it, or whatever, pita bread, something light but nutrient dense, then you can walk into that occasion and you can really look at everything and ask yourself, okay, what here on offer is really special to me and what's not, right? So like that's step one. Like, do I have to have every appetizer? Like, is a pig in a blanket really special to me? To me, it is really special.
Me too.
But there's other stuff that I'm going to be like, maybe not so much, yeah. Right? So being choosy about what you pick, opting for just one plate and saying, okay, I'm having this one appetizer plate. This is going to be my appetizer plate. And then I'm going to call it a day, right?
Yeah.
And then more or less replicating the same at dinner time instead of just at dinner time saying, oh, I'm going to eat the green beans, but not the casserole or whatever might be going on. If you just say like, okay, well, here's my plate and I'm filling it once, then we have some built-in portion control and you could really kind of choose what you want.
Interesting. You know, I'm sure it's ingrained in you and this is something you do naturally now at this point in your life. But there's a peer pressure issue as well. When you're going with family and everybody's gobbling up food, when you do your practice, and I don't want to violate HIPAA or any other nonsense, but what component of this is psychological when you deal with a client?
Yeah, so there's a huge psychological component to all of it. And yes, of course, we can sit here and discuss quick tips and things that and things that might work, but all of it takes practice. All of it also takes, a desire or a readiness to be doing these things. And if you don't want to do them, like, okay, maybe that's just like not where you're at in your health journey. And that's I guess, like, totally cool, right? But right. If you want to get through the holidays and then arrive in 2025 not feeling like you just went crazy over the holidays,
right.
it's going to take a little bit of work, because it's not just Thanksgiving, it's not just the religious holidays. It's also everything else that happens in between. It's the office work party. It's your friend wanting to have Friendsgiving. It's people wanting to grab the festive drink on a holiday Friday night. It's, you know, the light show or whatever people are doing.
Yeah.
So if you don't take some step to rein some of it in, then January can be a little bit uncomfortable.
You know, sugar is something that I try, you know, I love the stuff, basically. I'm a sugar junkie at this point, but it's something I have to watch out for. And at the holiday time, there's all manner of sugary treats.
Mm-hmm.
As a person, as Nicole Rodriguez, human being.
Yeah.
Are you consciously limiting your sugar intake at the holidays? Is there anything overt that you do that you think about, or is this now just instinct?
What I advise my patients who are ready to do, and what I try to do myself, is to ask myself, and I call this, it's like a three-step thing, but basically it's asking yourself a couple of questions. One, how is this going to make me feel now versus how will it make me feel later, right? And having that honest moment can help you determine, well, how much of this do I want to have? The other big factor, I think, when we're talking about how we approach different things, whether it's sugar or something else this time of year, what is my alcohol consumption looking like, and how is that potentially coloring my decisions positively or potentially in a way that later on I'm not going to feel so great about the decisions that I'm making.
What do you mean? You're getting tipsy and then you're like, oh, I'll eat that box of Oreos?
I think that happens. It's a lot easier after you've had a few drinks to say, oh, yeah, I'll have a bigger piece of this, or like, oh, I'll just keep going with
right.
whatever's in front of me. So I think, one, it's taking a pause. Sometimes it's a matter of like stepping backwards from something literally and saying like, hold up. Do I really want to do this right now, or do I want to kind of pivot away from it and
yeah.
not make this food decision, right? And that's only one strategy, right, is pausing, pivoting, and then pouring yourself a glass of water to be like, okay, well, did I really want to eat that? And this works in many different situations. But over the holidays, there might be things that you want to pivot away from, right? Like, say, for example, you're in the office and people are bringing you cookies and donuts and
yeah.
whatever. Before you reach for it, you might want to say like, okay, hold up. I'm going to count backwards from 20. I'm going to ask myself, Ray, am I really hungry, or am I bored? Am I anxious? Am I stressed out? Am I feeling some other type of way? And if that's the answer, then it's let me pivot away and maybe not grab the donut and see how you feel a few minutes later after you walk away from it, because maybe it's just getting it out of your eyesight and out of your mind.
It sounds so easy in theory, but it ain't so easy in real life.
It's a lot of work in real life, right?
The number to call here is 800-348-2551. Dietitian, nutritionist Nicole Rodriguez joins us. We'll get to the phones in a moment. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. Rita wrote in, I understand the temptation and convenience of buying baby greens in a plastic box, but please, 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 don't buy veggies in a plastic container for the sake of the planet. Plenty of great greens in farmers markets and stores that are not wrapped in plastic. And by the way, absolutely true. Things like spinach and things like, you know, raw spinach, absolutely true. And what you're saying is true, but there are a lot of people out there who are not near farmers markets. And would you rather not have the nutrition? That's the question, I guess.
That is the question. So I think we have to look at what does real access look like for most people. So I respect the point that, hey, you can
yeah.
buy greens that for, yes, can you support your local farmer's
yeah,
market?
Sure.
Is that beautiful? And is that a fun thing to do? 1,000% if
yep.
that's something that you have access to. Do I also agree like, oh, you could just buy the greens that are not already packaged for you? You can, but what about the person who does not have the time to wash the greens? I would rather that person buy what's convenient for them, because if it's a choice between, oh, well, I can only buy greens that I have to wash, is that the only good option for me? No, that's not the only good. That's not the only good option. And I think, you know, for some people, maybe that's your option. Maybe that's your access. Maybe that's your bandwidth. Not everyone has the same 24 hours in the day.
Yeah.
I would much rather one of my patients say, hey, I bought the thing in the plastic, and guess what? I'm eating it, and I ingest it, and I'm getting that nutrition.
Now,
right?
Rita's heart and head are both in the very much
Absolutely.
The right place. Maybe they could come up with something that is a different container, a different material, but just as an overarching theme, it's better to get the veggies however you can get them.
Bingo.
Okay, yes. Let's go to our phones. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Yeah, the dietitian's on, so let's take some calls about ice cream.
Yes.
Jonathan
yes.
in Massachusetts. Jonathan, you're on. Go.
Hey, how we doing today, guys?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. So just as a comment to a couple of things that you guys are talking about, and it's all about ice cream.
Yay.
So I am a dietary aide for a woman that has some, you know, pretty good comorbidities. And I find that I substitute sugar throughout the year for her with natural options. One of the biggest ones is monk fruit. And we actually have gone away from dairy as well. So I started making a corn and coconut ice cream for her. It's kind of a play on how a lot of African cultures like to enjoy their corn. They put coconut on it instead of butter and sugar. So it makes a really great combination, and it's really good nutritionally.
That sounds delicious.
Hey, Jonathan, I hate to be just completely ignorant about this, but what's a monk fruit?
So a monk fruit is a fruit that produces sugar, just like an orange or a pineapple. But this specific sugar that the monk fruit produces actually doesn't have an effect on your glycemic glycemic index. So people like diabetics or people that are sugar intolerant or trying to be sugar conscious, it's a great option for them to take it and make all their wonderful sugary desserts with, and then not have to feel the effect.
That sounds too good to be true. Nicole, weigh in on this. Now, this is really, it will not affect the blood sugar, your A1C or anything else?
Yeah, so monk fruit is one of those options. Yeah. So people who have an issue with their blood sugar, diabetes, prediabetes, and things like that. That is one option if we want to be going a natural route. There are other artificial sweeteners that are available as sugar substitutes as well. I love the idea of that. That sounds absolutely delicious. What we want to watch out for with our intake of coconut is that it is very high in saturated fat.
Yeah.
Even though it comes from a plant, right? So we don't have to avoid it completely. However, if we're going to be looking at say you were in the grocery store looking at some alternatives to dairy ice cream, and you might find something that's soy-based, cashew-based, and you might find something coconut-based, you will look that and see that something that's coconut-based might even be higher in saturated fat than a dairy ice cream. But I love what he's doing there. That sounds absolutely delicious and
Jonathan, you want to
very, very fun.
You want to add anything, Jonathan?
No, I just wanted to say thank you very much, guys. First time listening to your show, first time caller, obviously, and I like what you guys are doing.
Hey, appreciate it very much. Have a great weekend. 800-348-2551. Nicole Rodriguez is our guest. Nicole is an award-winning dietitian nutritionist based in the New York metro area. You got that Food Bullying podcast. How's that going?
It's pretty cool. We just spoke to someone recently about drones and their usage in precision agriculture, which
what?
Is,
explain.
Yeah.
You got to explain. We got a minute or two before the break, and then we'll go back to the
I needed some explanation, too. So there are a lot of different ways in which farmers are leveraging technology to utilize fewer pesticides, be more precise with their application, having less drift of pesticides and things like that. So it's pretty, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I fully understand all of it. Hence, we interviewed a couple of experts on the subject. You can listen to that episode.
Cool. And what's the URL for that?
It is the Food Bullying Podcast. It's on everything. iTunes and all of these other things.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Bill in Westfield. Bill, you're on with Nicole Rodriguez.
Hey, Ray. Hey, Nicole.
Hi.
We have a big fair out here in West Springfield, and they always try to come up with crazy food for it. And you guys were just talking about the vegetables, the corn, and then you got into the ice cream. Well, this year, a little stand from Southwick Ice Cream Stand had a cornbread sundae. I didn't have it. My mom and sister thought it was so good, they went back and got some there. But apparently a piece of cornbread with a corn-flavored ice cream.
Wow. That's right up my alley. That sounds incredible. Not only does it sound incredible, I think if that's something you wanted to, quote, healthify a bit and serve at the Thanksgiving table, you can greatly reduce the amount of fat and sugar in a cornbread recipe with a few substitutions, even taking a box of, you know, commercial cornbread mix, right? There are different options to do that. What about doing that with a frozen yogurt on top? I think that sounds delicious.
Yeah, I just thought, I mean, at first it sounds crazy, but then you start thinking of how sweet and delicious the summer corn is, you know. And
that's genius.
They got it from a local farm and just, you know,
genius.
Their ice cream with it.
I'm about it. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, thanks a lot. You know, here you go. Couple ice cream calls. The nutritionist is here. A dietitian. All right, Zach, let's take a break. 800-348-2551. It's holiday eating in a sensible, healthy way. And I'm learning so much today about vegetables. You have no idea. We'll be back in a moment. Fox Pop on WAMC, Ray Graff with you. It's a Food Friday. There's a little John Schofield. What you see is what you get on WAMC. Fox Pop at WAMC.org if you want to email Nicole Rodriguez. And who doesn't? Jen writes in from the Berg. Anti-kale camp is the subject heading. I agree about kale, says, I guess it's Jan. Plus, it's a bioaccumulator, so kale may not be so healthy if grown in a community garden where an old lead paint painted sat. Something. Lead painted something sat.
Not the first time I'm hearing that.
Jan said, I'm over it. So there you go. Well, thank you very much for that. I'm sure it's great, and people like it. And I have other healthy folks on here who swear by kale.
Yeah. Hey, listen, again, like the right breed of it and the right preparation. I just don't want to be eating that curly kale.
Yeah.
Like raw. No thanks.
And plus, you need like 9 books once you have to go after that. Yes. I mean, nature's whisk broom, right? So the thing is, we'll go back to the phones in a moment, but Jan mentioned bioaccumulator. I assume that just picks up toxins. Vaguely, I remember you and I talked about the Dirty Dozen, right? Or plants that are, or veggies that are not necessarily healthy unless you know what you're doing and picking them out.
Okay. So I would like to revisit that.
Okay.
We'll also say that we are like just scratching, we as if I'm researching it, but the industry is just scratching the surface of soil health and learning a lot more about it and how it impacts the nutrient profile of certain foods. So I think going into the next year, probably even like the next 5 years, I'm not going to say it's a trending topic, but you're going to hear more about things like that. It's a big global topic, right?
Right?
Soil health. But as far as the Dirty Dozen, I think it's important to recognize who puts the Dirty Dozen out, which is a private group, yeah, that has a lot of interest in organic produce, right? So one, whether something is grown organically or it's grown conventionally, it could still be sprayed with pesticides. It's a matter of the type and it's a matter of the concentration, right? And sometimes with organic produce, they'll need to spray more because they're using a different kind of a pesticide. Yeah. But when we're talking about Dirty Dozen, what I like to refer everyone to is something called safefruitsandveggies.org,
yeah,
where you can go in and say, like, okay, well, say, for example, I have a concern with pesticide residues on my strawberries. You would go in and say, like, okay, well, I'm a female and I'm this age. Well, how many, not strawberries, how many servings of strawberries would I have to eat in a day in order for pesticide residues to present any kind of health concern to me? And it's something like in the hundreds or even thousands of servings, like in a day, right? So
for every day of your life?
So I think at the end, not for every day of your life, but you would have to eat that much in a day to say, like, oh, this is problematic. So I think it hopefully will give some people some comfort to visit that calculator and say, like, okay, well, is this really something of a concern? Or can I sit back and say, the dose makes the poison. I'm also hopefully rinsing my vegetables with running water. Yeah.
Let's talk about that for a minute. Give us Nicole Rodriguez best practices for washing vegetables and fruit.
Yeah, it's running water, which hopefully we have access to, right? So running water, unless we're talking about things like our root vegetables and potatoes, things like that, we want to be using a scrub brush as well, and that's more for the, you know, the dirt more than anything.
Yeah, okay. All right, so let's go back to our phones. I'm sure there's some questions about pies. 800-348-2551 is our number. WAMC.org is the website. You can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Catherine is in Gilboa. Hello, Catherine.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
You betcha.
I'm listening on my way back home from my job as a baker, and that's what I do professionally.
Cool.
Amazing.
And I'm also a believer. Sorry, say that again?
I said, that's amazing. I love to hear that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I do love my sweet things, but I'm also a firm believer that things are people use way too much sugar in their baked goods, that you can drastically reduce the amount of sugar in certain things without really taking much of a loss in texture or flavor, like specifically fruit pies. Mm-hmm. Fruit pies, for depending on like how sweet your fruit is naturally, does not really need any sugar or like too much sugar added into the pie itself. You can kind of use a process of initially stewing down your fruit on the stove before adding it to your crust to help release the natural sugars along with a thickener like flour or cornstarch and create a pie filling that is really delicious and really low in added sugar.
Okay. What do you think, Nicole?
I agree 100% with all of that.
Yeah, it also depends on what fruit. It also depends on like what fruit you're using. Like, if you're using a fruit that isn't naturally that sweet, like that's more sour, you're probably not going to have great luck with that. But like peaches or apple, like certain varieties of apples, you really don't need to add much sugar. And if you want to, you just sprinkle a little bit to help with the mastication of the fruit, just to help naturally release the sugars. But really, you don't have to use too much. I mean, I always, I found a brownie recipe that was something like 2 cups of sugar for 1 pound of butter, and I cut it like 1 1/4 cup, or I'd made it to 1 1/4 cups of sugar, and literally no one could tell the difference.
Really?
The texture was amazing. Yeah. As a rule, I cut my sugar by like, for most things. I mean, there are certain things you can't, you know, otherwise the chemistry won't work.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of things you can cut. And like, so I just recommend people to like experiment. If the recipe says use 2 cups of sugar, try doing 1¾ cups. Just try it.
Now, let me ask you a question, Catherine. Now, you're a professional baker. Do your clients, do your customers, are they cool with that or do they want the sweet stuff?
Well, my clients tend to like actually tasting. I use a lot of natural, like I use fruit, like I'm a savory baker and a sweet baker.
Ah.
So I use a lot of like local fruits. And I'm less like cakes and I'm more fruit pies and hand pies. I do a lot of short crust. But my clients love it.
Cool.
They love it.
All right.
And when I tell them how much sugar is in it, they don't even blink an eye. They're like, oh, wow. It's amazing.
Well, that's fantastic. So, Nicole, you want to add anything before we say goodbye to Catherine?
Smart tips.
Thank you, Catherine.
Just try it.
Have a great weekend.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye now. All right. The email from Jack, and then we'll go back to the phones. Jack in Windsor writes, as a very active person, I have seen through various medias that whey protein powder has been beneficial. Just curious what it might do and what kind of foods ratios to introduce to my food. Whey powder, protein?
Yeah, so whey protein is, yes, it's a great source of protein because when we're looking at bioavailability of protein, just meaning, you know, what your body is going to utilize most efficiently, especially for muscle protein synthesis, there are two things that are neck and neck, and that's egg white and whey protein. So why might someone utilize a whey protein powder? Really, it's for ease, it's for convenience. So if you're, you know, looking at your breakfast in the morning, and remember taking it back to that kind of power triangle I was talking about of protein, heart healthy, fat, and fiber, say you're already making oatmeal with fruit. Well, do I want to add some protein powder to that and get that little boost? Fantastic idea. Am I looking at my smoothie in the morning and wondering like, oh, why isn't this filling? Well, if you're just using liquid and frozen fruit and maybe some vegetables or something like that, well, you don't have any protein in there to anchor it and make it satisfying. So that's obviously, you know, another kind of like obvious and easy application. So I would not weigh in, I would not weigh in on exact ratios and things like that, but you can pretty reasonably follow the serving size for most people of what a scoop of whey protein powder would be, usually something like 25 to 30 grams of protein. And for a lot of people, that's a good amount of protein to be having in one meal or, you know, snack a meal kind of occasion.
So I understand the nutritional reason for that, but you had an interesting word in that description, and that was satisfying. Is it satisfying to add protein in general to?
Absolutely.
I mean, so, how do you? It doesn't, obviously, whey is not going to taste like much,
yeah,
right?
It's,
but what's satisfying about
it's
it?
It's not. It's not going to taste like much unless we get a flavored one, which also is fine. So protein does have a high satiety factor.
Really?
It also has the highest thermic effect of any of our macronutrients.
What do you mean?
And I don't want people to get too excited because it's pretty minimal, but it means that it's going to help your body burn more calories more efficiently when we have it in our meals on a regular basis.
Is this what the paleo diet is based upon?
And not necessarily, no.
Okay.
No, not necessarily.
I think you winced a little bit when I said the paleo diet. Okay, I won't bring it up anymore. I withdraw the question. Allison writes in from Carmel, New York. Kale needs bacon, pork, or if you want Italian, olive oil, garlic, and cheese.
Boom.
Allison and
yes.
Carmel. Thank you. That's smart. Let's go to Matamoros, Pennsylvania. Debbie, you're on with Nicole Rodriguez.
Hi, Nicole. I'm a retired dietitian, and then I gave birth to a son with heterotaxy syndrome. He had a valve replacement a while back, and he's carrying extra weight. Now, a nice thing to do would be add salads, but with a mitral valve prolapse, he really can't do greens. Is that still correct?
Yeah. So he's taking like a warfarin.
Coumadin.
Yeah. Yeah. No. You. That
mm-hmm.
is.
Yeah.
That is still the correct guidance of avoiding foods that are high in vitamin K, like those dark leafy green vegetables, right? Like our spinach, our kale,
mm-hmm.
Things of that nature. Also, even things like egg yolks and mature cheeses and things like that. So that's still the proper guidance. So, you know, it doesn't also, what are we thinking when we're creating a salad, right? Like we always think like, oh, salad has to be leafy greens. It doesn't have to be. It can be a different medley of vegetables simply dressed that, does not contain some of those darker leafy greens.
Debbie.
Okay. along the way, I've heard such things as cranberry juice is not on the menu, that there are like other odd things, and I don't know about those. Green leafy vegetables make sense. What are the other ones that, that you recommend for somebody with that mitral valve replacement?
Yeah, no, as far as foods to avoid when you're on Coumadin?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so other things that fall into that category would be, you know, avocado, olive oil, green tea, grapefruit juice, egg yolks. Most people don't consume it, but liver as well. So it's not a really extensive list, right? I don't think it's a prohibitive list. He could still eat very healthfully.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is that list to avoid, and his doctor may have. I think that should have been on a handout.
Yeah, you should probably talk to the doc for sure, right?
Yeah, but he probably should have. Yeah,
beforehand, done it. Yeah, Debbie, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. All right, Liz writes in, subject heading: Thanksgiving dieting? Question mark. Here it is. My mother's coming for Thanksgiving, says Liz, and is always on some sort of fad diet, which we try to accommodate. We'll prepare a meal entirely from scratch, mostly from our own garden, and label everything so people can decide what they want to eat. I have different caloric needs because I do a highly physical job, and I'm a solidly built person. What is your suggestion for how we avoid talking about her thrusting her diet on me over a meal, or turn it into a more productive conversation? All right, just one thing. What I would say is disinvite your mother. No, what do you think?
I mean, that was going to be for, I'm just kidding.
No. Number one answer.
So this is such a great question because it applies to, you know, it applies to diet talk in general.
Yeah.
And I was trying to pop it up on my browser and I couldn't do it quick
Cheater.
Enough. However, there's something, if you could look up, there's a speaking group that puts out different things called table topics. And I think things like Thanksgiving, occasions like Thanksgiving are a great time to say, hey, you know what I'm going to do? Since I'm already going through all of this great effort on Thanksgiving anyway, I'm going to find this list of 100 table topics and maybe I'm going to write them down or I'm going to print them out. And in addition to my beautiful little Thanksgiving spread, I'm going to have these out on the table. And as we're like maybe having our salad course, everyone takes one of these. They're like, oh, well, if you only had, you know, blah, blah, blah. You understand the nature of the question, right? Some kind of, you know, icebreaker-ish, thought-provoking question. And it's a great way to take conversation away from food and into other topics potentially, right? So that might be one route. You know, the other conversation, again, this is a little more psychology-based, but where do you want to nip that in the bud with your partner, your mother, your aunt, whoever happens to be on XYZ?
Change the locks on the front door,
XYZ diet, right? It's like, hey, you know what? That's not what I'm discussing today. Like, I hope you're happy with what's on your plate, but I'm going to mind my own plate, mind my business.
Can you imagine going to the Rodriguez household and Thanksgiving and you have to label everything like it's a museum? What is that?
Labeling different dishes.
Different foods, yeah. She said I had to label everything so people can decide what they want to eat.
Yeah, I think that's just, I think unfortunately marketing and food fear and fad diets and social media have driven us to a place where that's what goes on at a Thanksgiving table because for whatever reason we're so frightened of eating a wide variety of foods, and we think we need to restrict so much.
Without getting you in trouble with any copyright law or defamation or anything, what's your least favorite fad diet ever?
Oh, my gosh. I feel like you're going to get me in a lot
of trouble. All right. Well, you know what? Just don't say the whole name.
Yeah.
Are they patented or copyrighted? It's a diet, right? Can you copyright such a thing?
I think some of them you can.
All right, don't mention those then.
I'm not a fan of any of them, but I think probably the past 5 or so years, OMAD is probably
What's OMAD?
My least favorite. It just stands for one meal a day.
Oh, we did discuss this.
Have we discussed
up,
this
well,
before?
No, today.
Yeah.
Saving up
oh,
calories.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily a great idea. You end up going overboard on that meal, usually.
I think it could be for a lot of people, especially active people, just a tough way to live, trying to have just one meal a day, and again, psychologically, doesn't really set you up for long-term health success.
What about snacking throughout the day and not having a big meal?
I think it depends on your lifestyle. It depends on what those snacks consist of.
What about snacking throughout the day and having a big meal? What about that? No.
It could work.
You know, you've had enough. Now, you've driven 150 miles for this. And this
I took the train, actually.
Oh, you did? Oh,
yeah, I took the train. It was
I love
lovely.
Taking the train.
Yeah, I do,
How long
too.
Did it take you?
I do, too. It's not bad. It's like that's like a two-hour, 20-minute ride on Amtrak, and it's lovely.
Did you have to sit next to somebody odorous?
No. Not odorous. Maybe someone had enjoyed some smoked corn in the row ahead of me before they got on
I
the
see.
Train.
That's
but,
what you're saying.
You know, that's par for the course wherever you go now.
Well,
so.
If you go out at the bus stop, you'll smell a little of the smoked corn as well right out front. Hey, Nicole Rodriguez, how do people find you online?
You know what? I would go and find me on ZocDoc. You could find the full listing of my business and how to work with me directly. You can also check out the Food Bullying Podcast.
You are a fantastic person. Best to your family, and we will talk to you soon, yeah?
And yours. Thank you.
Support comes from River Valley Co-op, featuring local and organically grown groceries in Northampton at East Hampton. More information at rivervalley.coop. Honest Weight Food Co-op in Albany. Local, organic, and sustainable groceries for all. Open daily from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Home delivery available online at honestweight.coop for information. And Broad and Taylor, makers of bread baking tools and equipment for listeners who are interested in beginning their sourdough journey. Recipes, how-to videos, and store at Broad, spelled B-R-O-D, and Taylor.com. Once again, thanks to Nicole Rodriguez for being here today. Terrific, as always. Thanks to you for calling in, especially the calls about the pies. Thanks to Zach Malloy and Barb King. I'm Ray Graff. Have a lovely and pie-filled weekend. We'll see you Monday, and we'll sort it all out.